Russell Spratt's the Kaiwhaka Haere Matua, the GM at Tribe Group and co-founder of Tomai Recruitment. He hails from Te Awa ki Whakarongotai, Ngāti Tōranga Tere, Ngāti Raukawa ki Te Tonga, and he's kindly with us for a kōrero, well, about recruitment and about life. Hey, tēnā koe, Russell, ko Dale tēnā.
Kia koe.
Kia ora, good to talk with you, Russell. You work in areas that not all that many Māori do. I don't know how many Māori recruitment firms there are, and maybe you could tell us about Tribe Group. Just to set the stage, talk with us about the kaupapa that you're involved heavily in, please, Russell.
Yeah, sure, happy to, thank you. So, look, you're right. To speak to your comment about Māori recruitment, there are a few of us who are committed to tupuranga mahi Māori, so supporting and raising Māori-specific employment. But Tribe Group are a general recruitment company, and they have a number of parts. So there's Tribe Recruit, there's Tribe Tech, there's Tribe Leadership. And so we provide services across the mainstream job market. And more recently, over the last 18 months or so, I've joined, and we have a specialist Māori recruitment business, so Tomai, as you mentioned, and the purpose and the kaupapa of that organisation is to support Māori with their endeavours within the Māori economy, and as we all know, that's an extraordinarily exciting, vibrant and growing sector of the economy here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, billions of dollars, so we support that area. We also support our government employers with their commitment to Māori employment, giving expression to te tiriti, equity, those sorts of areas. And of course, at the moment, they're significantly impacted by some changes throughout the country. And look, we also increasingly provide services to the private sector, be it banks, technology, just the whole gambit, actually, of employment within the private sector. And the reason that that's increasingly important to our business and to the economy is that mainstream employers have worked out that there's a lot going on in the Māori economy, and there's a lot to be excited about in terms of the special place that Aotearoa New Zealand is and all of the roles that exist across all the various sectors.
Obviously, employers are looking for people with the appropriate skills for the positions that they're looking to fill. But for my mum's generation, sadly, their parents said, hey, listen, no, Reo Māori's not going to get you anywhere. Reo Pākehā is the medium of the day. They're all great English speakers, but sadly, a whole generation without the reo. Nowadays, Reo Māori and an understanding of Reo Meona Tikanga is actually quite a solid tool for employment. What are you seeing from organisations regarding seeking that sort of cultural skill set?
Well, first up, I'll just total call what you've just said, and isn't it a wonderful thing that in the last generation or so, because of commitments from many of our older people and others, and their focus on the resurgence in use of te reo, that we now have a whole cohort of double degree younger people, rangatahi and slightly older, who are now fluent speakers. And when I have the privilege of representing individuals for whom they have gone through kohanga reo and have moved on through and through wānanga and right through into master's level qualifications with te reo, Meona Tikanga, they are just absolute treasures within the employment environment wherever they land, wherever they're attracted to. They bring a perspective that is quintessentially Aotearoa New Zealand, and it's one that we should be extraordinarily proud of. And it's just, as I said a moment ago, it's a privilege to represent those people, and it's powerful for us as a country. It sets us apart.
Well, we're seeing mass redundancies and job losses unlike we've witnessed in recent times. And you've got to feel for those who are being marched down the road. What's your advice to those who have been or are being made redundant? What can they do to prepare for their futures?
It's a very, very big part, I. So I think first and foremost, it's really important just to acknowledge those whānau who are going through this process at the moment. It is, simply put, horrible for them. There will be a range of circumstances and responsibilities that they have, and these responsibilities and circumstances are now under risk. And so the purpose of your question is not lost on me. In terms of what people can do who are currently being impacted or might be impacted, there's a couple of things. I think being prepared for the possible eventuality of one losing one's job is important, but not to overthink that, because you can end up going down a rabbit hole and it just ends up being really bad for your widower and all that sort of thing. But to be pragmatic about it, I think, is important. I think it's also an opportunity to reflect on the things that are important to you. And look, I don't mean to sound flippant about this, because we are talking about people's livelihoods and money and food on the table and all that sort of thing. But if, for some people, there will be opportunity to just take pause, perhaps, and with the support of whānau, extended whānau, perhaps to look at a retraining opportunity, to rekindle previous training that perhaps was not completed, and to take the time to have a bit of a think about where are the opportunities across the employment environment. A few spring to mind immediately. There are gaping gaps and therefore opportunities across health in this country. There are also big gaps across other sectors to do with technology. There are other gaps in relation to specific mahi Māori, and that might be to do with getting home, working for iwi, being a part of the resurgence that is taking responsibility for our own well-being, our own environment, our own whenua, those sorts of things. Sometimes ill fortune, losing a job, can provide just that moment in time where you can reconnect with what's really important to you and see whether or not you can recalibrate your career to take advantage of that. The training one, I think, is quite exciting if people can afford to be able to do that.
Tēnā koe, Russell. I'm taking from you, and this is to our mums, dads, our nannies who are listening today, aunties, uncles, you know, a focus on reo Māori. It might not seem to be your stepping stone into good employ, but these softer cultural skills, including reo and an understanding of cultural practice, actually are very fine tools to have on your CV, and those who carry these traits, very employable, Russell.
Oh, look, without a doubt, Dale. So what I can say to you, notwithstanding the current situation with the state sector employment environment, for many a long year now, 15, 20 years, I've been helping organisations and kaimahi to come together to give expression to utilise those cultural skills that you just alluded to. And there is no reason that appetite, that market will change. And I mean, you know, 1,200-day cycles within politics come and go. Our Māori continues on in perpetuity, and the language is our way of giving expression to who we are, where we're from, and what we do. I would encourage every person to become involved, more involved, to share if you are a speaker who is comfortable to do so, to learn if that's something that you've always wanted to do. And within the employment environment that you're alluding to, there is no doubt that te reo on your CV is going to be an enabler for your career, not the opposite that some people may have you think at the moment.
Get on you, Russell. What else are you doing, mate? I know you're helping people find jobs, but you've you look like a pretty interesting dude. What are some of the other things you're passionate about?
Well, you know, it happens as we move on through life with a whakapapa. So I have the privilege of helping iwi, my iwi whakarongotai, Ate Awaki whakarongotai. I chair the assets holding company there, and we're doing what we can with the revenues that we have in that regard, looking at some housing developments, those sorts of things. I'm very involved in Te Taiao. We have the privilege of being ahika on Ngoti Kapiti, and so have a small home there, and the whānau have a business there. And so the environment, the birds, the fish, all those sorts of things are important. And indeed, in fact, I'm the chair of Zealandia Te Mara Atane down here in Wellington, where we have a wonderful relationship with iwi Māori, with mana whenua, with te taiao, with mātaranga, all those kinds of things. And look, just because sometimes there's a spare 5 minutes or so, there's one or two other boards that I sit on as well, just to do my bit and to try and help.
I've never been to Zealandia. Should I? visit?
You should get there immediately, if not sooner. It's just a place of tranquility, of, well, all the things you might expect to find in an urban sanctuary. There's the Malu, you know, there's the beautiful Darko, there's the Way, the people are superb, and it's a place for healing, really. And we're extraordinarily proud of the team there, the kaimahi, the work that goes on, the research, and the connections that we have. One of the lovely things is the fact that the birds don't know where the fence is. And now, as you might be aware, they're spilling out and populating and improving the environment and well-being for Wellingtonians. So it really is a very special responsibility being associated with that.
Kia ora. They can't read signs. They can't read signs either, so maybe we can change Zealandia to Maorilandia.
we could. Well, and the signs are even bilingual as well. You think they're try harder, but there you go. Never mind.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much, Russell. Nice having a cordial with you. All the best with the mahi.
Pleasure. Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, man. Mauri Thanks ora. Very much. Mauri ora. That's Russell Spratt,